Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
The Burt Show.
So yesterday morning, I pull into the parking lot, right? Park in the spot that I have been parking in. Thank you, Ethan, for allowing me to park in my spot again. And as I'm pulling in, the Titanic pulls in behind me. One of the biggest trucks I've ever seen in my life, all right?
Like a huge F-50 or whatever?
It's a F-950.
F-50.
What?
That's a Ford.
Oh,
it's F-150.
F-150. Sorry.
Well, one is important.
Apparently.
F-50. I think Jimmy would drive that.
Okay. F-150. My bad.
If this was a Ford and it was one of the F-series, it would be a 950. It was so big.
It's not that big.
It's Tommy's truck. Let's talk about this
and
thing.
It is
why?
It is a Chevrolet.
Okay.
Oh,
because if you're a NASCAR fan,
you're
Toyota, you're Chevrolet, or you're Ford. I happen to be a Chevrolet.
Man, I remember.
My dad was a Chevy guy.
Yeah. I think this might be a Southern thing. In Texas, when I lived there, it was very divided. You are a Ford person or you are a Chevy person, and there is nothing in between. And then you've got like the decals on the back of the car where you got somebody like peeing on a Chevy logo.
Calvin, right?
I mean, it was that serious, all right? So Tommy clearly has taken a side.
Okay, so let me paint the picture. I have gone electric. My wife has an electric car. It's very fast. It's a Kia EV6 GT, 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds.
There is no electricity left in Atlanta if you are using it on that truck, that Titanic.
Oh, there are cars out there way faster than that, like the Cybertruck, which I would never have one of those. If that's your thing, that's your thing. But that is not me.
You could put a Cybertruck in his glove compartment.
those things are like 2.8 seconds, I think, the 60. Anyway, so and I have a Kia EV9, which is a SUV, and I'm selling that. If anybody's interested, it's got like 20-some thousand miles on it.
Now I know why we're doing this break.
Yeah.
No, not at all. But I got to get rid of it because I just leased a new truck.
You're getting rid of the Titanic for another Titanic?
No. The EV9, the SUV. I'm getting rid of that. I got the truck so that I could pull my camper that we just bought back in December, because we're campers now. I'm an outdoorsman. I don't know if you know that. I got my axe under the control board here.
Mm-hmm.
So found this truck. I've been searching high and low. It was a countrywide search. I finally get the truck. I get it when we're on vacation on Thursday. So a week ago, last Thursday, I got it. Beautiful truck. Dallas from the country station next door, she drives trucks and Jeeps and all that kind of stuff. And she came in and she goes, man, that's the best looking Silverado I've ever seen. It's a 2025 Chevy Silverado EV RST.
When you got people from the country station coming over and going, that's the most country thing I've ever seen. You've done something special.
I took that as high compliment. It could get no better than that. So the same person, Dallas, sweet as can be, she goes, that's electric truck. Why don't we got chargers down in the garage. Why don't you park there? And I said, well, I do with my other two and I charge it. I said, but I looked and I don't think it could fit up under there. It's a little too big. And she goes, no, I get mine under there. Yours looks about the same as mine. You know, you'd be fine.
She's just setting you up.
So I get here the first day I had it. I get here and I kind of turned down and I looked at it. I was like, nope, not today. So I went and I parked at this spot over where me and Kristen park. It's a little more roomy, but it's outside in the elements. I got a black truck, black interior. It gets hot in the truck. So I was trying to park underneath and get a free charge because we have free charge in here. So the other day, Friday, I come in and I was like, you know what? Today's the day. Tommy could use some free charging and so could Black Beauty, which is what I named my truck. So I go And I get out and I stand on the running board and look up at the roof. And it's got like one of those fin things, whatever's in those fins. I don't know. Satellite radio, all that crap.
The expensive stuff.
Yeah. And I look and it clears it by maybe two of Kristen's hairs. Just enough. And I get through. Then I get to the next little barrier and I get out. And I do that like 10 times going 50 feet between me and the parking space just to be extra careful. This is Black Beauty. I've wanted this truck. I wasn't going to mess it up. So I get through the gauntlet of height and I get to my parking space. I plug up. Sweet daddy, I am charging. I am getting free juice. Don't have to pay for it. It's awesome.
You're a good American.
So I go to leave on Friday. You should come out the way you come in.
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
I didn't do that.
Oh, no. Because we have one entrance in, but then if you go down a couple of different levels, then there's a different exit to get out. Okay.
Yes. Well, I didn't get very far, Bert. matter of fact, I pulled a Bert. If you remember, Bert has hit his garage a couple times.
With my Bronco. So, I moved into an older house, and I was in more contemporary homes, so I could put my truck in it, and then not knowing... I hit my Bronco twice. I've taken the soft top off of it the first time. It cost my insurance $15,000 before they said, hey, I think we're done with you.
Well, I started driving and I started to do what I did when I came in, you know, checking each of the little drop down things, whatever holds the parking garage up. And I would get out and I looked at first one. I was like, yeah, I'm fine. So I go to the next one and I slowly go under it. No noise. I'm like, yeah, I got it. I go to make the turn, and it looked a little bit lower, or either I'd gotten a little bit higher, which is possible. I'll explain in a moment. I go to make the turn.
Oh, no. Oh. Top or the side?
The top.
Oh, God. Damn. I know that sound.
The side. How's it going to rub the side?
The pillars. If you hit it a little bit too close.
No, I'm not that big of an idiot. The fin scraped on the top, but then when it scraped the top, it pressed it down.
No. Damn.
So it's like a little dip in the roof.
And at this point, you've had the truck how long?
It was exactly 1 week.
Oh my God. Dude, how much is it going to set you back?
I don't know. I'm going to take it today to my place, which knows me well. I've been there with the EV9 several times, none of which were my... Well, one was my fault. I backed into a shopping cart corral.
Well, hopefully...
But I need like a saging or something.
Oh, you think you need a saging? We got Cassie in here. You don't need a saging. That's an accident.
I know. I feel so bad. And I've been reading through these 100 days entries of, you know, people needing stuff and needing our help. And I was like, you know what? This is a little fish, but
yeah,
Black Beauty.
Hopefully this makes you feel better. But my dad is the same way. Like, he's very passionate about his Ford truck. We're a Ford family. Ooh. We're not aggressive about it, but it's very clear. Like, my dad's always driven a Ford and my brother's always driven a Ford. So we're a Ford family.
So you like driving slow.
I don't know. I drive a Maserati. I don't care.
A Maserati.
I went for the cheapest car I could find when I needed to buy a car.
I got three Fords in my family. I just realized that like a couple of months ago.
It just happens naturally. Yeah. So my dad gets this sick, jacked up truck. He called it his dream car. He's like, I can't believe after all the trucks I've ever had, this is the one I'm most excited about. Day two, he has it. And he has a completely glass top roof. Somehow, same thing, parking garage. Totally scrapes up the top. So he's like, oh, okay, I'll just go get it fixed. He's like, you know, an old man who makes a lot of money. Unfixable. So now he just has this entire scratch down the top of his truck that you cannot get rid of.
It's the worst.
I was going to ask, what's the quickest somebody ever damaged a car out of buying it? Day two? I wonder if somebody could beat that.
We're going to ask that question later on in the show. I think that's a great question. It's like, you know there are going to have people that pulled out of the dealership, and as soon as they did, got in their first
accident. Gotta be.
Hey, I'm just wondering, can you start a GoFundMe for stupidity?
That would have started 25 years ago on this show. So I don't think so.
The Burt Show.
time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
There is literally only one thing that got me out of bed this morning because I had food poisoning all last night.
Oh, no.
It was the thought of not getting to talk about this court case on air.
Okay, hold on. Let's stop there for a second. So what did you eat? Can you?
I have no idea. I woke up at 3 a.m. with the most, you know, when you have that nausea that like takes over your whole body. I was like a wet dog all this morning because the only thing that makes me feel better when I'm nauseous is just like laying down in the shower and just like letting the hot water hit your head and like try and block it out. And so I'm like, I can't not talk about it today. It's going to be old news tomorrow. I got to show up. So I'm like dragging myself in. Like, I can't not say anything about it because I can't let Blake Lively win because I'm just shocked that this is even really allowed to happen. Now, some of this makes sense. Some of this, absolutely, I understand why it's getting thrown out. But there's one part about this dismissal of this court case that I just do not understand, and it makes me feel like this is truly Hollywood elites at play.
I was shocked when I saw this pop up in my Instagram feed that this was happening, because I mean, from what I've heard and read, it seemed like a sure thing.
I thought so too. I really thought Justin Baldoni had a strong case here, and I'll explain why the judge is dismissing it, or at least explaining why it is getting thrown out. So he is suing Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds, and also their publicist for $400 million. He was claiming defamation. He was claiming extortion. And he also had a different lawsuit for the New York Times because they had published Blake Lively's lawsuit against him, but it was like the day that it came out. So it looked very suspicious that it had come out so quickly. It kind of looked like they were working together. So he basically sued them for defamation as well. And the judge is throwing this case out for Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds, and their publicist for all of those defamation claims, basically saying everything that he is claiming that they said against him that is defamatory was all said in a lawsuit. And when you say something in a legal case, that is protected speech by the government. So you can say it's defamation, but that is protected speech. And the same thing with the New York Times. Like, they were just reporting on that case. So none of it you could technically say is defamatory because, again, protected speech. What I do find to be very odd is the extortion claims, because I thought that was really what was going to get played out in court here, because some of the things that were mentioned in Justin Baldoni's court case against Blake Lively was a mention of this scene that he had painted with executives from William Morris Endeavor, which is one of the biggest talent agencies in Hollywood. And he basically explained that there was a conversation that he had had with one of the top execs at that agency where he basically said that he sides with Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds over everything, and they kind of get what they want no matter what. And he was trying to get Justin Baldoni to cave on certain things in order to please his clients, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. And so that was one of the things that he was claiming was extortion, basically being like, well, these guys bring us all the money, so no matter what is happening with you guys on It Ends With Us, like, we're siding with them. So I'm wondering why that was so easily dismissed by a judge, other than maybe the fact he got paid off, maybe rumors. Because I feel like that's something that needs to play out in court. They're basically just saying like, oh no, everything that he's claiming in the lawsuit, it's just business stuff. That's just business boy talk. Like, oh, that happens all the time in conference rooms and behind the scenes. So that's not extortion. That's just simply business. So right now he has until June 23rd, 2025 to file new claims. He can still file defamatory claims against them, but it has to be anything that's said outside of the court case. So nothing that is mentioned in her lawsuit against him. Or he can also file a lawsuit related to breach of contract or business interference. And again, he has 14 days to do that. So
that's a lot to chew on. But
it's a lot to chew on.
The other part of that, though, at the end of that, you said he can still go ahead and file, but what's the difference in this one?
The difference is he cannot claim anything that she is saying in her lawsuit against him. So right now she has a lawsuit against him that is basically saying that he retaliated against her when she filed sexual harassment claims. Mm-hmm. So he can't say, oh, you're defaming my name by saying that I sexually harassed you, because she is saying that publicly, which is what requires defamation to be proved. Like you're saying something publicly against mm-hmm. another person. Since it is all in a court case, that is protected speech.
Gotcha.
Because, yeah, you remember she was the one who filed first and then he filed afterwards. So, I mean, all that from a legality standpoint makes total sense.
Yeah. So Blake Lively's responding on social media and she just said, like so many others, I felt the pain of a retaliatory lawsuit, blah, 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 victim, victim, victim. I don't care.
The Burt Show. Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It is something that I have been offered to do a couple of different times, but absolutely not being on a reality TV show. No way. Knowing how they edit it, how they have a narrative and they have a storyline based on what they think your personality is and they run with it no matter what. No chance. Now, Abby has applied for two of them.
I've applied for one, almost two, because I missed the Love Island casting last weekend because I'm stupid. And I thought that it was last weekend, not this upcoming weekend. But I'm currently in the process for applying for a show called Farmer Wants a Wife, which I think is somewhat wholesome. And I feel like of all the reality shows to take a risk on, that one scares me the least.
The only wholesome reality TV show I've ever seen is Love on the Spectrum. I mean, the other ones, man, I don't know about this one, but we also know that negativity sells.
Yeah. Well, I also think with Love on the Spectrum, you're getting like authenticity. With all the other ones, mm-hmm. there's a producer in somebody's ear trying to get them to do stuff just for dramatic effect. Because I remember when I did Say Yes to the Dress with my niece, right?
That's right.
So my niece got engaged and she was getting married. And they came to Atlanta and we went to the bridal shop and we did Say Yes to the Dress. And because I had been with my... At that point, boyfriend for like almost 10 years. And her uncle hadn't proposed to me yet. So that was the storyline they were trying to push, that here I am like the, I want to try on dresses, but I can't because her uncle hasn't proposed to me and she's getting married before us, right? Like they actually asked me if I would put on a veil, okay? Mm-hmm. And do like at the very end and do some kind of like, you know, shtick, like a last, like an interview or whatever. And I was like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Like I do a really good job of making myself look like a fool. I'm not going to have you make me look like a fool on behalf of myself.
Yeah, so Katie's cousin just signed on to a reality TV show and got the part, but the family not happy about it.
For some reason, my mother's at the age where every little thing she sees on Facebook or every little conversation she has with a family member is breaking news. And most recently, I'm talking to her and she's like, Katie, did you know your cousin? Is on a reality TV show right now. And I was like, what cousin? I don't have many cousins that I actually know, right? So then she's breaking down, it's your second cousin, da, da, da. And I'm like, okay, all right. And she's like, he's on Love Island USA.
Ooh, oh my gosh, that's a big show right now.
Yeah, it is, man. Right. We have this thing where we ask the interns, like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on in your life? You know, keep us connected to your young life. And all of them have reported back, Love Island, Love Island, Love Island, Love Island. They love it.
They're going to lose their minds back there in the phone screen room and they hear your cousins on it.
Right. So I was confused because last I heard, he was just trying to be a model and he was like breaking into his modeling career, which so far from what I've seen, he had been doing well. So for him to go on this reality show, she's like, they're not happy. I was like, who's not happy? She's like, the family's not happy. And I understand it because we were raised like there's certain things you just don't do. Any type of show is going to paint you in a certain light. Like you just don't join reality TV shows, especially one that is just as messy as Love Island USA. And I had never watched the show before at all. But now that he's on it and now that the family's against it, I tuned in.
Heck yeah. I'm invested now.
I am so invested. And now it has turned into a show that I hate watch because I'm like, I just got to ride for the family. I got to ride for the family. But man, this show is so messy.
So for those that don't know exactly what the show is all about and have never watched it, give them the premise.
Okay, so basically, I think it's about six guys and six ladies are on this random island that looks like a Barbie house. house. That's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. It looks like a Barbie dream home that they all put them together. And on the day, the first day that they see each other, they basically force them to couple up with someone. You have to couple up. And then they try to switch it up. They're like, oh, two new bombshells have arrived at the island. Will you leave your couple or will you stay loyal? Like,
so to the person that you just met? Person,
yeah.
So they add people as you go just to kind of like ruffle some feathers?
Yes, they spice it up along the way. So you're forced to couple up with someone the first 24 hours that you don't know this person. And then they'll introduce new people or they'll say you can mix and match or you can kiss this person blindfolded. Did you like that person? Do you want to leave? It's really messy and it's this just messy dating show. Mm-hmm.
The goal is to find love here?
Allegedly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or enhance your modeling career.
Yeah. But the prize is that the couple who makes it to the end wins like $100,000.
Oh, okay.
There's some motivation.
Now we talking. Mm-hmm.
There's the rub.
Yeah. So this is why I'm rooting for my cousin. And for those who aren't watching this current season, my cousin is Taylor.
Hold on a second. So you're telling me that these young 20-year-olds are signing up to hook up with as many people as they can and they may win $100,000 for that?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Now you understand why people sign up for this stuff.
Not the worst island to be on.
Yeah, I didn't know that there was a money element to this.
But how do you make it to the end? What determines you the winning couple?
That's what I'm trying to figure out right now, because so far that I've seen and I'm watching, it just shows like it's just being messy. Like you stay, you don't stay. I don't know. Rebecca may know because she's obsessed with this show. She's been taunting me every day about my cousin.
Rebecca, how do they make it to the end? Like, how do they win $100,000?
So viewers vote.
Oh.
Yeah. So they vote on their favorite couples and they vote on their favorite contestants. And you can win $50,000 at the end if you win. But the couples are separated and one of them gets the bag and the other one doesn't. And the person who gets the bag has to decide if they want to split with the couple that they're with.
Oh, they shady to the end.
Yeah, they are. Damn. Yeah, it's like an messy obstacle course.
It's so messy. But Katie's cousin, we need to like fly a plane over Love Island right now, wherever they are, because he is fumbling the bag so hard right now. And he could win if he wanted to, because he is with a fan favorite and he just said he's not attracted to her.
What's he doing?
Who's the fan favorite?
Alondria.
But he doesn't know that she's the fan favorite, right?
Well, that's why we need to get like a smoke screen. We need to write in the sky, because he could win if he wanted to.
Well, to be fair, he's been the only nice guy that since the show has started, okay?
And you don't go on a show like that to be a nice guy.
And I think that's the problem. That's another reason why he shouldn't be on the show. But I think he can bounce back, Rebecca. I think he can bounce back. Taylor's my cousin. He's the one with locks. That's who I'm rooting for, okay?
You got to sneak a family burner phone to him or something.
You're right. Like, hey, man, on the outside, it's not looking too hot. It's not looking too hot. But Rebecca, what should he do then?
Okay, here's what needs to happen. I think what he's going to realize after the next vote is that he is messing up with Alondria, because he'll see she's going to go number one in the ranks and he is not going to be there. But you're right. He is really nice. He's funny. He's really cute. People do like him. He just has to figure it out with the couple he's in.
So what's the biggest beef that your family has with this whole thing?
You were raised to do better.
Oh. Okay.
Why are you joining trash TV?
Okay.
Like, no, this is not the way you should be going.
Will they feel a lot better about it if he walks away with $100,000?
No.
Okay, because he'll have to sell his soul to get that.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. That's the problem.
And now he's not going to share it because y'all ain't support him.
That's right. You're making a bad mistake then.
Katie, she's watching it every week, man.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm the one supporting him.
You should have broke off, for sure.
Hey, we always welcome your emails. Maybe you're in a situation where you're not exactly sure how to go about it and it's too close to you. So you hit us up with emails, and we got one this morning to run by you guys, which is, help! I'm caught between two friends and I need advice.
Hi, Bert Show. I need help with a tricky friendship situation at work. I'm Taylor, and I'm close friends with two coworkers, Fiona and Rachel. I've known Fiona for years. We were friends before the job. I met and became fast friends with Rachel at work and introduced her to Fiona, and they hit it off. Over time, though, Rachel began making joking comments about Fiona, insulting her education, background, and dating life. Fiona tried to brush it off, but the comments started to wear her down. Things came to a head recently during company layoffs. Fiona, whose work was highly valued, was the only one retained from her group. Rachel was the only person laid off from her group. Most people weren't surprised. Rachel wasn't known for being the most reliable employee. Her reaction was explosive. She openly badmouthed people, especially Fiona.
Oh my God.
One comment really crossed the line. Rachel claimed that because she had a higher level of education than Fiona, the only reason the company chose to keep Fiona was because she was cheaper to retain. Rachel's layoff had nothing to do with her qualifications or costs. The company was already questioning her performance, and the budget cuts gave them a clean excuse to let her go. Fiona blocked Rachel on social media and cut ties. Now, Rachel's blowing up my phone, saying she has no idea what she did wrong, acting like the victim, and asking me why Fiona won't talk to her. Here's the thing. I know where I stand. I'm loyal to Fiona, but I'm trying to spare Rachel's feelings by not outright cutting her off. Fiona understands and told me to handle it however I want, but I can't help but wonder. Oh, I feel like we're in a Sex and the City episode.
Yeah.
Is it wrong to keep pretending I'm neutral just to keep the peace? Should I distance myself from Rachel entirely out of solidarity to Fiona? Or is it okay to keep up the Switzerland act? The whole thing has been eating at me. I'd love to hear what you think.
What do you think, Abby?
This is tough, and I've been in this situation many a times because I'm a woman, and sometimes we have a hard time getting along with each other. But I think it's really important to just be upfront and honest. I'm always in the camp of over-communicating. And I think you would do yourself a lot of good if you want to keep both of these friendships by telling both of them that you are trying to be Switzerland. I think it's important that you acknowledge both of their feelings, you acknowledge both of what they're going through, and also be honest about where you think they're going wrong. Because I think if you just say, oh, I'm Switzerland, keep me out of it, I don't want to tell you, all they're going to think is that you are some two-timing double agent. Like, I'm not going to be able to trust you with my feelings. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to tell you things because I'm just going to assume that you're just going to go to the other person and talk about it. So I think if you're upfront and honest about your communication, and also upfront and honest about how you genuinely feel, I think this will eventually blow over. Maybe it won't, but at least you're being authentic to who you are.
What you got, Mo?
I agree. I think if I'm close to both of these people and I consider them both friends, then I owe it to both of them to be honest. I wouldn't hide my feelings in either situation, and however the chips may fall, with me being honest with both of them, I would just stand on that, because I wouldn't be able to live with myself feeling like I have to lie in order to serve someone's feelings.
Yeah, I think I'm with Mo on that whole thing, man. I mean, if you're going to go in with honesty, and if not, then just get out of the whole friendship.
The Bert Show.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There's like a whole series on social media about women logic. And from the outside looking in, you sort of understand it on TikTok, on Instagram. But when you're living it and it plays out in front of you, it's got a totally different meaning.
I think I have a perfect example of how this made all the sense in the world to all of the women at this table that I was sitting at. But all of the men were so thoroughly confused. And it all starts because I know in relationships, I often hear women say that they ask their significant others to do things, and sometimes the man forgets, and that can be somewhat of an issue in the relationship. And, well, I thought in my relationship that I was pretty good at that. Turns out I'm not as good as I believe I am. And this all started around, so sometime when my lady comes into town, there are about three or four doors that you have to go to in order to get to my place. Mm-hmm. And sometime the way that her flights are set up, she'll have to get here at a time when I'm not there. Now, most of the doors I can buzz her in for wherever I am. But there's one particular door that I can't. You have to have the actual scan key. And she lost her scan key, of course. And then I was supposed to go get a new one, but I forgot. And so, yeah.
Also, they're kind of expensive.
They are. They're not cheap.
If I needed to replace mine, it'd be $500.
What?
Uh-huh. Mine is not that much.
Oh, yeah.
$500.
They charge you for literally everything.
See, they know, man. They just know you're going to lose that thing. It's an easy way to make $500.
Which, in my mind, I think I didn't really forget. I just didn't want to pay the $100. Now, $500 told her you just not get another one.
Well, wait a second. Why do you have to pay the $100 if she was the one that lost it?
Well, that's how I feel about a lot of things. that's, I think that's a valid question.
I think so too. Right?
So this particular time, she ends up coming and I hadn't got the scan key yet. So she needed to ask me or remind me to leave that door cracked as I'm leaving because she was going to be following in shortly after. So that particular morning, which this part of it is completely on me, right? This part I accept. I was telling myself, leave the door crack, leave the door crack, leave the door crack. And it's such a habit that you just go through the door every morning and make sure that it's closed behind you, you know, for security purposes, that I just naturally did it and completely forgot. And as soon as I got to work, I realized it. I was like, oh, I forgot. So now we're going to have to try to figure out a way to get her in, or we're going to have to wait until the people get to my apartment so that they could let her in. Either way, she was probably going to be out there waiting for an hour. So I felt horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So later that weekend, we all go out. We're at a dinner. It's some couples. We're all hanging out. And she brings this up. You know, somebody forgot to get the scan card, and we're having this whole conversation. Now, at some point in the conversation, I said to her, now, while I completely did forget, and I should have reminded myself, why didn't you remind me? Like, you always send a text to say, don't forget, before you go to work, you know, leave the door cracked. And she didn't this time for whatever reason. And she said, well, I didn't remind you because if I reminded you and then you forgot, I would be pissed that you forgot. So it just made sense to not remind you. And I said, what?
Like, okay, so I was not expecting to go this route.
So she remembered, but strategically didn't send the text.
Right.
Because, it feels like a setup.
Right. It was so naturally all, it was just funny to me how all of the men were like, what? Like, that doesn't make any sense at all. But the women were like, that makes perfect sense. Like, because if I have constantly reminded you to do something and you don't do it, then I already know you're not going to do it. And you not doing it is going to piss me off. And it's going to put me in a bad mood. So it's just the safe route to go is to not remind you at all. So,
I'm dizzy.
So the two routes I'm going, one, women often get accused of being nags. So that's why they're like, I'm not going to sit here and harp on you about doing something. I asked you to do it once. That should be enough. And if I harp on you to do it, then I'm going to get labeled a nag. So there's that aspect of it. And then there's the other aspect of it where, like, if she reminds you of this, then it could become a pattern of her having to remind you for everything. And then now it's like the, like, weaponized incompetence or whatever. And it's like, oh, so now I've established that I have to remind you for everything. And now you're relying on those reminders. And I've enabled the bad behavior of you forgetting.
Yep.
So now I'm just going to have to, like, it was a lesson. It was a lesson in remembering on your own. And I kind of get the text. So women's logic is logic-y.
It's logic-y.
I feel like we're being trained like puppies all the time.
I feel the same.
Abby, where are you at?
I kind of feel the same way, whereas if I feel like I'm already micromanaging you, and then if I anticipate the follow-through not happening, I would feel bad on so many levels. A, because I'm like, here I am being the classic woman micromanaging you, and then here you go again, not following the instructions, and I think it's just going to add to that level of frustration. So I kind of get it, where if she knows it's going to happen no matter what, you might as well just take out one of the negative emotions and just stick with the fact that I know I'm going to be frustrated waiting outside your apartment.
See, it's the anticipation for me, right? Because I get it wrong sometimes, but I get it right a lot of the time too, and if you don't put me in the game, you can't be mad. I didn't score.
Okay.
You gotta give me a chance.
I'm with you, man. So when you were at the table and it starts to have to be a house divided, what are the guys' arguments on that side? Because if I'm at that table, I totally got your back.
The guys are saying what I just said pretty much. Like, okay, I do get that there are times when I may have forgot, but there are also times when I remembered, and that simple reminder might have been exactly what I needed in order to get it right. And you can't be mad at me for you assuming I wasn't going to do something when I didn't actually not do it. That's how the guys felt.
Now, if the roles were reversed, would you have sent that text to her?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Right. I would have expected her to just know to do it.
That's very hard to defend at that point. Very hard. Here is Deshaun. Deshaun, thank you for calling the Burt Show. What do you got?
I just think it's interesting how we're all talking about Mo and how women don't want to remind men, but this whole situation would have never happened if she would have never lost the card.
Uh-oh.
Did you
said it. I did.
Okay.
Buzzed on the hot. hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Last night was the 2025 BET Awards, and Kevin Hart came hot with one of his monologues. So, of course, he is opening up the show. Everyone's excited to see Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart is hysterical. Vibes are high. Award show happening. And, of course, he brings up Diddy in the middle of his monologue and just how everyone better be on their best behavior towards the end of the night.
Tonight, I will do my part. Everybody will get flowers. I'll do my part to make sure that I put us on a high pedestal, man. Also, I'm going to do my part. I'm shutting down the idea of after parties. No after parties tonight, okay? None. Take home after this. That's why I did it on a Monday. People got to go to work tomorrow. No after parties. That's for get slippery at them after parties. Okay? We're learning a lot about people, ain't we? We're learning a lot.
But seems like some mixed reviews from the crowd.
Yeah. In the entire monologue, I can see why. It had a lot of dry spots, for sure. But I did think that it was interesting that he chose to take what was clearly a shot at Diddy, because a lot of people were wondering if he would, based off the fact that there were a lot of videos of them together around those times, that a lot of those things were happening. So people were curious to see if Kevin would come out and actually say something about it, and he did.
It's the slippery mark, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Directly, right connected to Diddy with the baby oil and all that stuff.
And exactly. The alleged freak-offs or whatever. Yeah. So yeah, it was kind of an interesting reaction from the crowd, because I kind of feel like everyone's on the same side, where it's like, it kind of looks like Diddy, even though he hasn't been convicted, it's looking like he did some pretty shady stuff. And so the fact that it was a little quiet was like, oh, that's an interesting reaction.
You know, as a comedian, Mo, where do you make that line of differentiate, what's the word I'm looking for?
Differentiating.
Thank you. So because it's clear most people in that room know exactly what's going on, but you're connected to it. So is it joke priority number one over everything?
I think so. Yeah. I think we've gotten to a point with comedians where a lot of the time you are afraid for the backlash of the joke. But at the end of the day, that's what you become a comedian for. If you are not brave enough to tell the truth and to speak on matters that the entire room, it's like the elephant in the room. We all know this is happening. And I think if he would have gotten up there and said absolutely nothing about it at the BET Awards, he would have got criticized for that. So you have to say something. And I think that was probably the line where, as far as he was willing to go.
So there was, I believe, a rumor that it's possible that Diddy maybe even poisoned Jamie Foxx, and that's why he had that health scare like a year and a half ago back in April when he was filming here in Atlanta, actually. So he accepted the award for the Ultimate Icon Award, and he says that he is really grateful for his second chance at life.
Hey, when I saw that in memoriam, I was like, man, it could have been me. I don't know why I went through what I went through, but I know my second chance I'm not going to turn down. I'm not going to turn down. I have so much love to give. I told him, I said, man, bro, just give me one more crack at this. And I promise, I said, whatever reason you put this on me, I promise I'm gonna do right.
Of course, when he says him, he's talking to God. So he must have had a pretty intense face-to-face with the Lord himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what the truth is behind what Jamie went through, but it clearly has made him grateful for having a second chance at life, because that man has been extremely emotional and proud to have these moments, but he's getting his flowers while he can still smell them, so it's a good thing to see.
I think it's the kind of thing that you can try to have gratitude every single day, and you can try to appreciate things, but when life is almost gone, right? Because remember this saying that I heard a couple of weeks ago that I feel like I've been using time and time again, is that you got 1,000 problems in your life until you got a health problem, then you got one. Yep. And that changes your entire life. And I think that's what he's going through right now.
For sure.
One of the most interesting speeches of the night was actually from Tyler Perry. He delivered a very powerful speech that called out Hollywood studios for their lack of support for Black talent and cultures. In culture, he highlighted the removal of Black history from educational institutions and government buildings, and also talked about the importance of preserving and celebrating Black heritage. He also pointed out that he has created more Black millionaires than any other Hollywood studio, which obviously is underscoring the fact that he is really uplifting the Black community through his own ventures. And he had this really great moment where he was talking to the crowd and really just getting them fired up for whatever their dream is. You just got to go for it.
You're struggling. If you're trying to make it, you're trying to build a business. If you have a dream, keep making footprints. Don't let anybody stop you. You can do it. And the last thing I'll say to you is this. Hear me when I say this. Don't let your worry be greater than your faith.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
Every time that man cracks a mic, I'm inspired.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.